The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
My next guest, Dr. Greg Jantz, says sometimes the solutions we want are not found in the answers we adopt. He says something is amiss in the United States, and we keep looking for cures in the wrong places. The numbers keep growing, and overprescribing drugs is not solving the problem. Well, Dr. Jantz is a specialist in depression and addictive disorders. He says we tend to deal with symptoms rather than get beneath the surface to see what's happening in the heart and the soul. He explains that depression can often have various causes: unforgiveness, addictions, toxic emotions, and even stress. In his latest book, The Inhealing Depression for Life, Dr. Jantz, he identifies three deadly emotions. One reason we see an uptick in mass shootings, for example, the misuse of technology, and so many other things. Well, the book is titled Healing Depression for Life. Dr. Gregory Jantz is our guest to talk about just that. He is a certified eating disorder specialist, a certified chemical dependency counselor, a nationally certified psychologist, and a licensed mental health counselor. The author of 39 books, Dr. Jantz is the founder of The Center, a place of hope listed as one of the top 10 facilities for treatment of depression in the United States. He brings a message of hope and healing to audiences through seminars, conferences, and media all across the country, and is a much sought-after speaker and consultant. We are so grateful to have you with us today, Dr. Jantz, to talk about your latest book, Healing Depression for Life. Now, the title may seem to some of our listeners too good to be true, but first of all, welcome.
It's good to be with you, and this is such an important topic. We all know somebody probably who's struggling with depression.
Can we begin by just defining what depression is? If I'm feeling tired and stressed out, is that depression? Are you talking about clinical depression, or is there a definition that includes all of that?
Sure. You know, and depression comes in many different flavors, if you will. We hear different terms to describe it. What I'm talking about today, though, it's that depression. It's been over a month, and things aren't getting better, and you've told yourself, you've tried to shake it off, and some reason you wake up, and that dark cloud is still there, and you're trying to figure out, oh, no, what do I do? And everything you've tried, it hasn't worked so far. So that's what we're talking about. It's a depression that just lingers.
Now, depression, you start out by saying that you've been there. You share a bit of your own journey. Would you share that with our listeners now?
Yes. And, you know, I've been treating depression for 36 years here at A Place of Hope, and I want to let you know I have walked through it. And one of the things that I just was dealing with, chronic high stress, chronic high stress can move you over to depression and anxiety. And so I probably had the helper's disease. I had great intentions, as most people do, and you just keep saying yes, but you forget about your own self-care, and eventually your body physically is sending out signals, and emotionally you're not being renewed, and spiritually you're not being renewed. And you find yourself at a place going, what in the world has happened to me? So I've walked through, and I made it sound real simple, but it took me a year or so to really come out of all that.
Now, you believe that there is an uptick in the diagnosed incidence of depression, that they're higher than ever. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, as we look at depression, and even, I'm glad you asked, the World Health Organization, they tell us that depression is the number one, they call it a disability, the number one disability in the world. My goodness, that's incredible. How do you do that in the world and have depression above heart disease and cancer? Well, one of the things that we know is true is that depression is on the increase with 12 to 17-year-olds, 50 and above, we have high numbers. And so it's affecting the world, not just the United States.
Mm. Now, what are some of the reasons you cite that leave you to believe that we're losing the battle with depression? I think for many of us, we're loath to put a label on it. We don't know to seek help for it because we're not really sure whether or not we qualify as being legitimately depressed. But why do you think we're losing the battle with this subject?
I think because we're just looking for a singular approach to it. And what by that, I mean, you feel like, man, something's wrong, and you do the right thing. You go in and see the doctor, and then all of a sudden, you get a prescription, you fulfill it, but that's all you do, only a medication approach. And then months pass, and you go, wow, you know what? I'm just not doing that great. And that's because we just used a singular approach, and not a wrong approach, but we want to add to it. We want to look at the whole person. We want to look at what are all the possible reasons. We're all a 1,000-piece puzzle, and there's a lot of different pieces. There are unique pieces to our puzzle, and we need to look at what are those pieces that are missing. And that's why we do things as a team. That's why I believe you have to look at the whole person.
Now, one of the things you mentioned earlier was the fact that people are given a drug to help deal with the issue, but very little else. What are some of the common treatments for depression that are not working, perhaps in a singular case of a drug without anything else? What are some of the common treatments?
One of the things that we look at are there nutrient deficiencies. What's causing the imbalance in the body chemistry? Is there trauma in the person's life, early trauma, abuse, physical trauma? We also look at, is there medical conditions that could be leading to a possibility of depression? For example, one real common one is a person who's had chemotherapy, and they suffer from a physiological depression, and it seems to take them a long time just to move out of that. So there's medical reasons for depression.
Mm. In what specific ways does overuse of technology erode mental health, if in fact it does?
Yes. Technology. Do we get to talk about technology today? Well, here's what we know. If you're already depressed, and today you just spent most of your day or tonight online, on Facebook, wherever, in social media, you're going to end up feeling worse. Social media, when you already are on the borderline of depression, social media will cause you to feel more depression symptoms, more anxiety symptoms.
And why is that the case? Because we tend to compare ourselves with others. What is it about that setting in social media that contributes to depression?
Well, one of the things that happens is we're looking for a relationship, we're looking for a connection, and it doesn't happen in social media. Social media, we tend to compare ourselves. We tend to feel inferior after spending time online. It's a kind of a natural condition. Mm-hmm. You feel worse, not better.
Mm. You write about the heart of any addiction is impulse control. What's the link between impulse control and depression?
Oh, boy. We live in an instant society. We want everything right now. And our kids are used to living that way. We kind of live in an age of entitlement as well. And everything's one click away. And I can go over to Dr. Google and get all my answers very quickly, right? And so we're used to instant. Well, if I can't cure my depression fairly quickly or instantly, I grow more frustrated. When I say low impulse control, that means I can sometimes appear random and sporadic. And so that's important to look at impulse control. Can I control my impulses? If I feel depressed, am I secretly drinking or overusing medication or engaging in addictive behavior? What's going on if I'm struggling with depression that I could be attempting to self-medicate?
Hmm. While I'm sitting here engaged in this conversation, I have the TV on in front just in case there's some breaking news story. The internet is open on my right, and I'm engaging in conversation with you. Explain for us what you mean by continuous partial attention.
Well, if you've ever had lunch with somebody and they're on their device and they're texting somebody, and they look up at you and they go, "What did you just say?" You know, they had partial attention. And what happens is in our relationships, it devalues the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily intentional, but you end up feeling not as valued because something else has taken the person's attention.
Yeah, whatever's happening on that screen is more important than the person sitting directly across the table from you in that close proximity. And that happens quite often. People are their attention is not focused.
That's right.
And how does that reflect or contribute to depression?
Well, one of the things is we're distracted. We can't be fully present. Likewise, when we're depressed, we're already struggling with concentration. It's, you know, in this new book I've done, Healing Depression for Life, as great as a book as it is, if you're depressed, you got to move really slow. You're going to lose concentration, right? it's hard to focus.
Yeah.
And so we want to be aware of that. The focusing, the ability when I'm depressed to really see things through might be difficult. So that's something to look at.
Yeah, yeah. Now, what about long-term stress and depression? Are they linked? Does one contribute to the other? Does one exacerbate the other?
Yes, if you're living under some chronic stress, be it work stress, financial stress, by chronic, I mean it's been 6 months and this stress is not going away. Maybe it's relationship stress. Maybe it's abusive relationship. Maybe it's a sense of feeling controlled or oppressed. Whatever it is that is adding up to equal chronic stress, over time, think about that just wearing on the body physically. You're going to look for a way to cope with it. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's escapism behaviors of some kind that aren't healthy. And so that chronic stress causes you to want to self-medicate. And when I self-medicate, what happens is I tend to do things that are not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually I regret.
Yeah.
So chronic stress will lead you quite potentially down a road of some depression, despondency, some despair.
And self-medicating doesn't necessarily mean you are ingesting drugs. It can be entertaining yourself to death or distracting yourself in ways that are unhealthy.
Well, I just thought of it could be food.
Mm-hmm.
It could be I'm secretly eating to escape.
So there are a variety of ways to do that.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that's unusual in your approach, or I should say unique, is that you really focus on the body, the mind, and the soul. And you make the point that although people of faith have lower rates of depression, we have less anxiety and stress, it still can be an issue and sometimes is interpreted as perhaps a weaker faith or that maybe your faith walk is not sufficient if you struggle in this area.
Yes, and you know, we need to look at faith and what we believe. If you're depressed, you probably don't feel lovable. You feel like, well, how could God love me? And understandable, because when we're depressed, we just don't feel we have much value. Now, one of the things we need to look at is we may be praying and crying out to God, God, take this away from me. Get this off of me. You know, we're desperate. And I hear that. And it's good. It's okay to pray desperate prayers. We may want to also pray, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what I need to do. Show me the missing pieces to my puzzle. But pray for wisdom. Sometimes, and for me, I made some life corrections when I went through my time of despair and depression. I made some permanent life corrections, and it changed me. And it changed the course of my relationships. So depression, as terrible as it is, can be an opportunity to make some changes that's going to add future joy, freedom, life purpose. So there's an opportunity here.
But you raised the topic of three deadly emotions, unresolved anger, guilt, and fear. How do these, as you refer to them, terrible triplets impact depression?
Yeah. Anger, fear, and guilt. I call them the three deadly emotions. Well, another word for anger could be hurt. I've been hurt. Hurt's always unresolved hurt goes somewhere. Maybe I take that unresolved hurt and it turns into depression. Maybe it turns into bitterness and resentment. So when you think of anger, think I've been hurt. It could be I've been betrayed. I feel that I've been injured. Fear, anxiety, and worry is a form of fear. If I have way too much fear in my life, I get paralyzed. I can't make decisions, and I'm really paralyzed, and fear is the great paralyzer. Guilt? Well, you know, there's a true guilt or a guilt that says, oh, I made a mistake. I need to ask for forgiveness. And then there's a false guilt, which could be really shame. I feel shameful. I feel like something is terribly wrong with me. Maybe I feel defective.
That can so often happen. In what ways does forgiveness play a role in healing from depression?
Well, forgiveness, we if there's one single area that is common to so many suffering from depression, it's that of this topic of forgiveness, which is probably misunderstood. It could be a self-forgiveness, could be I've been traumatized, could be a forgiveness of others. One of the things that we want to become in our healing from depression, one of the things that we want to become is an initiator of forgiveness. We don't want to carry any old baggage. We want to be initiate. We want to learn, how do I forgive and move on? And I don't mean it sound quick and easy or simple. It's not always that way. But how do I live a life of forgiveness where I'm not punishing myself or punishing others? A lack of forgiveness certainly can create some depression.
One of the things you encourage your readers to do is consider exercise, simply moving, and the role that that plays in helping to alleviate or even prevent depression. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, do I need to run a marathon to feel better?
Well, probably not a marathon, but movement can be really important. I have to keep moving. Now, when you're depressed, in fact, when people come here to A Place of Hope, they don't want to move. You're depressed. You don't feel like you have the energy to do anything. And maybe walking around the block is really hard. It takes all you have, and maybe you don't feel like you can even do that. So walking, movement is an important piece. We know that if I can keep you moving and your body stretching, everything else that we're going to do with you is going to work more effectively.
Are there foods that either contribute to or help mitigate depression?
Well, there's foods that I think can make it worse. A lot of times a person on a depressed, they have a pretty high sugar or diet or fast food or a lot of soda drinks. Diet does make a difference. I think of an individual who came to us, and he was, he'd never been asked what was he putting in his mouth. He had been depressed over 20 years, tried every medication that he was given. So he was drinking, I know it sounds amazing, 10 to 12 pots of coffee a day.
Oh my goodness. And he was still standing upright, huh?
Well, he just over time, that's all he did was drink coffee. Now, would that's an amazing amount of caffeine. Would that create some problems? Would that physically create problems? Yes. And so what we put in our mouth, and I'm not saying everybody's depressed drinks a lot of coffee, but I'm just saying what you put in your mouth does matter. If we're depressed, we tend not to make the best food choices. Even drinking water can be hard for a depressed person.
So you have to make yourself perhaps venture into areas that are less comfortable in order to feel better.
That's right. You do.
Now, your book raises other issues that contribute to depression. What are some of these, and how can we know for certain what's causing our depression? And is it important to know what the mitigating circumstances leading to our depression might be?
You know, sometimes we don't. Usually there's, you know, one major, two or three reasons for depression. Early trauma, I haven't really talked about that, but complicated grief and loss in somebody's life can be another factor. And it's important to know, well, you know, if I have unresolved trauma, I could take a pill, I might feel a little better, but for the long term, it's not going to get me the results that I really want to have. So we need to dig in and really understand what maybe some core issues could be.
Yeah, yeah. What about seasonal affective disorder? We live here in the Pacific Northwest. Right now I look out, there's clouds everywhere. It's been raining the last couple of days. Explain what that is and how it impacts a person's tendency toward depression.
Well, you know, there's a seasonal affective disorder. We've heard that mentioned before. And there are people that are certainly more sensitive. You know, the lack of sunlight, the lower vitamin D levels, all that is true and legitimate. You know, people eat more maybe in the winter. So this is why I need to put together a comprehensive plan to help me. You know, I kind of joke, of course, I'm in Seattle, our facility's in Seattle. And if you can walk through everything here, you're going to do really good.
Yeah. Does the adding a light source, does that actually help?
There is so what we call the full spectrum lighting that for some, they can be fairly sensitive to it and see some results. So lighting and light does make a difference. And even in our body's rhythms, our sleep, our circadian rhythms, so that can have an effect.
Mm-hmm. Now, you provide at the back of the book to help people determine if they are depressed and how severe, a questionnaire. What are some of the key indicators and how does that help us pinpoint what the source of my particular problem might be?
Well, there's a good questionnaire, but one of the things that we need to know is, okay, whatever symptoms that you're having, have they, you know, been going on? Is it over a month to 2 months? Are you getting more symptoms versus less? And are those symptoms intensifying? In other words, I mentioned sleep. Is sleep becoming more difficult? Are you waking up in the morning and that sleep, you don't feel restful, or you're waking up throughout the night and maybe your heart feels like it's pounding and you have some anxiety? So we know really the intensity and how many different symptoms maybe you feel is important. Maybe you feel like you've isolated from everybody. You don't have the energy to do anything. And those things are getting worse.
At the end of your book, you cover the mind, the soul, the body. You have a chapter titled Reinventing Your Future. For someone who is in the midst of depression, what does that look like, reinventing your future and having hope that the future is not going to be what it seems to be now in the midst of depression?
Yes, reinventing your future may look like having new life goals. As I walk through depression, what am I going to do differently? Am I going to do some things that prevent me from continuing to recycle in depression? What's going to give me really true meaning in life? In a greater sense, you know, what do I feel like is God's plans for me? When I'm depressed, I can't see it or can't feel it. I don't know. But I do know that life is precious and there's a good plan. Our theme verse is Jeremiah 29:11, and you do have a future and a hope.
Mm. And when you're in the midst of depression, you so desperately need to be reminded of that. This book is a resource that's available among other resources that you are that you have put together. What is your hope with readers? I know that you see patients on a regular basis in the Seattle area, but what is your hope with your readers in addressing some of these issues that can be so debilitating? The subtitle of your book focuses on hope for lasting relief. But the resources that you have provided, how do you see those contributing to the health and the recovery of your readers?
Well, you know, we work with individuals from all over the country and even internationally. And because of our approach, this whole person approach and doing things as a team, you know, we were voted in one of the top 10 places to get help for depression. Mm-hmm. I know how important it is to do it right. And so my hopes, and I know that, you know, honestly, as good as the book is, and it's good, but we may need more help.
Yeah.
And today I want people, it's okay to ask for help. Gather more information. Yes, certainly do your best to get new ideas and do some reading. But, you know, we will regret it if we don't ask for help over time. So make today a decision point. And I just want to say it's okay to ask for help and begin to gather that new information today.
Yeah, yeah. At what point do you recognize I need help beyond what I might be able to do for myself? I've thought through some of the issues that your book presents. Is there a turning point? Is there a switch at which you recognize I need additional help?
Yes. If it's not going away and you're 6 months into this or 3 months into this, I would say, look, if you're still experiencing it, let's get some quality help that can help us begin to find out what are those missing pieces to the puzzle. By the way, when we're depressed, sometimes our ability to see things is lessened, and we may need some help. We may need some accountability. We may need somebody to help us have a plan, to create an action plan.
And that's a great, great place to start. Well, Dr. Jantz, I thank you so much for your book, all your books, really. And for this one in particular, Healing Depression for Life, the personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. And I think for folks in the midst of depression, that's the thing they need most is hope and a practical way to address the struggle and the challenge that they're facing. Thank you so much.
Oh, good to be with you today. Thank you.
Look forward to the next time.
You got it.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Again, Dr. Gregory Jantz, he's our neighbor to the north. He is the founder of The Center, a place of hope, which was voted one of the top facilities in the United States for the treatment of depression. He's a best-selling author, 37 books, actually more than. He's a go-to media source and continues to identify more effective, cutting-edge forms of treatment for people struggling with depression. Healing Depression for Life, the personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.